The History of Jamaica Rum. The story of Jamaican rum, in many ways, is the story of the Jamaican people. Sugarcane, a crop indigenous to the Canary Islands, was brought to Jamaica by Christopher Columbus and other Spanish settlers in the early 16th century. The tropical climate and fertile Jamaican soil suited the foreign crop, and it soon began to flourish. The British invasion of Jamaica in 1655 coincided with the increased demand in Europe for sugar. The British conquerors saw the possibility for wealth and immediately got to work establishing sugar plantations across Jamaica, ushering in the age of colonialism. Hundreds of thousands of Africans were captured and brought to the New World as part of the transatlantic slave trade to service the labor-intensive sugar industry. By the year 1800, more than 300,000 Africans endured the treacherous journey through the Middle Passage to Jamaica. On the backs of the enslaved, Jamaica quickly became the largest exporter of sugar in the British Empire, earning Jamaica a new identity, the jewel of the Caribbean. While plantation owners grew wealthy and Europeans grew fat, enslaved Africans and farm animals were fed molasses, the discarded byproduct of sugar refinement, to cut costs. This is where the story gets interesting. According to legend, a thirsty enslaved African dipped a ladle into a trash pool, unintentionally discovering rum. Thanks to the tropical climate, more specifically, the heat and yeast in the air, the discarded molasses began to ferment naturally. This crude alcohol was the earliest version of what we know today as rum. Rum bullion was believed to be the original name assigned to this liquid, meaning great tumult, no doubt inspired by the behavior exhibited while under the influence. This potent liquid was also sometimes called kill devil, owing to the harsh quality of early rums. With mounting pressure from increasing instances of revolts and abolitionists in Britain speaking out against the cruel and inhumane aspects of slavery, the British slave trade officially ended in 1807, making the buying and selling of enslaved Africans illegal. However, the practice of slavery continued. It was not until August 1, 1834, that slavery ended in the British Caribbean, giving way to apprenticeship. During this transitional period, enslaved Africans were allowed to earn a low wage and receive job training in exchange for their labor while they awaited their freedom. The Emancipation Proclamation of 1838 marked the formal end of slavery in Jamaica. Indentured servants from India and China were brought to Jamaica to help keep the sugar plantations running. But without slave labor, sugar production was forced to include more capital-intensive methods of production. These changes resulted in a reduction of the number of factories from 140 at the start of the 20th century to a mere 27 in 1943, and even further reductions thereafter. As sugar prices began to free fall following the abolition of slavery, rum, the liquid discovered by enslaved Africans, was used to diversify the economy. Rum production quickly became integral to Jamaica's economy, even surpassing sugar earnings for some plantation owners. Free from the shackles, rum began to make its cultural mark on Jamaica and the world, and the crown began to demand its due in the form of an excise tax. Q.W. Austin of the Treasury Office posted weekly recurring notices in the Jamaica Gleaner in 1865 demanding the payment of rum returns. His notice did not mince words. Here I quote, "Any persons in charge of sugar estates, wholesale dealers or retailers of liquors are to make and deliver their quarterly returns to the sub-collector of customs or face penalties." End of quote. Showing that rum returns were a vital part of Jamaica's post-colonialist identity and economy from the very beginning. Germany had long been a consumer of rums from Jamaica. The trade was quite significant in the 1880s, but when the duty was increased, the Jamaican local producers sought to maintain their market share in Germany by producing a very high-strength rum. The result was a rum with a pungent flavor that avoided the high duty and which German importers could use to flavor their neutral spirits made from potato, beet, and grain and still be profitable. The product became known as Rumverschnitz, and there were many distillers in Germany, in areas such as Saxony and Grenberg, whose survival depended on these high ester rums. The article, A Rumbustious Story in the Planter's Punch of 1937-38, indicated that Jamaica rum is currently used in German spirits to strengthen them, and that the duty in UK is extremely high, £500 per puncheon. Another advertisement dated June 21, 1866, posted by J. Rear Nephew, invited patrons to try their unequaled supply of old rum bulk and bottle, for which we obtained the prize medal, showing that one of Jamaica's most beloved rum brands was winning medals nearly a century before Jamaican independence. Our rum industry continues to make its mark globally. In 2019, Appleton Estate became the first Jamaican spirit brand to officially achieve sales of over 1 million cases annually, making it Jamaica's first international spirit. In the 1930s, a national sugar pool was established in Jamaica with the intention of providing consistent best prices for producers and distilleries to sell sugar into the pool. This also allowed distilleries to purchase molasses from the pool to help keep manufacturing costs down, a process that has been continued by the Spirits Pool Association to this day. Though the number of sugar factories was greatly reduced, improved production methods and technological advancements resulted in the sugar industry achieving its highest production in 1965. At the time, it was the leading source of national income, employment, and export. It was estimated that more than 200,000 Jamaicans derived their income directly or indirectly from rum. Jamaican rum also played a significant role in British naval culture. Officers enjoyed a ration of Jamaican rum daily until 1970. The last rum ration was dispensed on July 31, 1970, and became known as Black Tot Day. Sailors were unhappy about losing Nelson's blood, a term they used affectionately to describe their rum ration, and were distressed that they'd never again hear "Splice the main brace," the familiar call when the rations were about to be dispersed. There were reports that on Black Tot Day, sailors threw tots into the sea and staged a mock funeral in a training camp. Rum, discovered by enslaved Africans, continues to be a global symbol of equality. The Jamaican rum industry is internationally celebrated for being led by women, namely Dr. Joy Spence, master blender for Appleton Estate, the first woman to have been appointed to this position in the global spirits industry in 1997, and Martha Miller, the CEO of National Rums of Jamaica in 2020, who was the first woman to head a spirits company globally. As time marched on, rum became the powerful cultural and economic commodity that it is in Jamaica, providing employment, community enrichment, and educational opportunities that continue to grow even today. Alternately, Jamaican rum has become part of Jamaica's global identity. It is what we are known for the world over, thanks to our homegrown rum producers. J. Rear Nephew Limited produces a line of rums from Appleton Estate, as well as Rear Nephew White Overproof Rum. Long Pond produces Monomusk Plantation. Hamden produces Hamden Estate and Rum Fire. Werther Park produces Werther Park Estate and Rum Bar. Together, these brands are available in over 60 countries worldwide. You see, the story of rum is really many stories of resilience, determination, and innovation. But most of all, it is the story of creating something out of nothing. And nobody does that better than Jamaicans.